Listening to Reverend Dr. Rob White from the AULC Ministries. Find us on Facebook, Roku, Amazon Fire TV and TalkShoe. And be sure to visit www.aulc.us.
Please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1 verses 26 to 38. Starting at verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth. To a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Rejoice, favored woman. The Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. For you have found favor with God. Now listen. You will conceive and give birth to a son. And you will call his name Jesus. He will be great. And will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I have not been intimate with a man?" The angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth, even she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called childless. For nothing will be impossible with God." "I am the Lord's slave," said Mary. "May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel left her. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Hello and welcome to AULC Ministries. I'm Reverend Dr. Rob White with this week's message. Now in the sixth month, in our scripture lesson today, it ties Mary's story to that of Elizabeth, for whom this is the sixth month of her pregnancy, with the baby who will become known as John the Baptist. Now John will be born 6 months before Jesus and will be the forerunner of Jesus, the one who prepares the way for Jesus by calling Israel to repentance and baptism. The angel Gabriel is the same angel who announced the birth of John the Baptist to Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband. And there's another connection there between these two stories. Now, the story of the Annunciation, or the announcement by the angel to Zechariah, immediately precedes this story of the Annunciation by the angel to Mary. Now, the Zechariah story is like the Annunciation to Abraham and Sarah in Genesis 18, in that both couples were old. They were beyond childbearing age, and both Zechariah and Sarah doubted. The Zechariah story is like the Annunciation to Mary, in that neither Elizabeth, that's Zechariah's wife, nor Mary is a likely candidate for motherhood. Elizabeth is way too old, and John's birth will require a miracle. Mary's a virgin, so Jesus' birth will also require an even greater miracle. The angel's appearance to Mary in Nazareth contrasts starkly with the same angel's appearance earlier to Zechariah. The appearance to Zechariah took place in the Jerusalem temple, where Zechariah was serving as a priest. It's to a holy man in a holy place. The appearance to Mary takes place in Nazareth. It's an inconsequential town far removed from the Jerusalem and the temple, and it involves Mary, who's a young woman of no standing or apparent consequence. Now, in our scripture text today, they speak that she's pledged to be married to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. Now, she's a virgin. Parthenos means maiden or unmarried daughter or virgin. And this brief mention is all the billing that Joseph is going to receive here. Remarkable, given that Jesus will trace his lineage to David through Joseph. However, in this gospel, Mary has the lead, and Joseph here is only a supporting actor. Much different than the Gospel of Matthew, which begins with a lengthy genealogy of Joseph and recounts Joseph's intent to dismiss Mary quietly for her pregnancy. It's a decision, of course, that he reverses at the angel's request now. Like I said, this word, this Greek word parthenos, clearly means virgin or maiden. It's an unmarried, chaste woman. Now, the virgin's name was Mary, and it's remarkable that in this patriarchal society, Mary is front and center in the story. Girls are often betrothed at a very young age, so it's almost certain that Mary's in her teens, and it's also possible that she's in her early teens. Young women are expected to be seen but not heard. This is a man's world, and Mary is neither a man nor married to a man, although she is betrothed to Joseph. That's binding, but it can still be dissolved by divorce. She's still quite young, living with her parents, and expecting to be married probably within a year. Now, rejoice, you highly favored one. In verse 28, we see this. In the original Greek, the words are kera, kekeratomena, and that means that it's a lovely sound and it's a graceful note, but there's no translation that really comes out of that. The Lord is with you. While Luke does not cite scripture like Matthew does, the angel's promise reminds us of God's words to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus 3:12, I will be with you. The angel who said to Gideon, Yahweh is with you, in Judges 6:12, and the Lord's assurance to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:8, don't be afraid because of them, for I am with you to deliver you. Now, in verse 29 here, it says that when she saw him, she was greatly troubled. Mary must have been perplexed as much by the appearance of this angel, this messenger, just like she was by his words. In her not very large town, she would not often see a strange man, much less have him appear unexpectedly and address her directly. Now, does Gabriel look like a man, or does he look like an angel? If he looks like an angel, what does an angel look like? Now, Mary is further perplexed by his words, rejoice, you highly favored one. Keep in mind that Mary is a female in a world that prizes males, and almost child in a world that reveres age and wisdom. She's a nobody in a nowhere town. God has not prepared her for the appearance of the angel, but instead sends the angel to prepare her for an even greater surprise. Rejoice, you highly favored one. Mary must have wondered whom the angel was addressing. Luke says that she pondered what sort of greeting this might be. I don't doubt that. We can see the wheels are turning here, and she's saying, what in the world is happening? The angel also says, don't be afraid, Mary. Now, Zechariah was afraid of his angel, and these words suggest that Mary was afraid too. Shortly, we'll see terrified shepherds in the presence of their angel, because fear is appropriate in God's presence. But God is merciful to those who fear him, as Mary will remind us in her Magnificat. Now, in verse 30, for you have found favor with God. In the preceding story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, Luke tells that the couple's religious virtue, but we have none of that here. Nothing is said of Mary's faith or her character, nothing that helps us to understand why God chose her. But as we have seen with Abraham and Isaac, and especially Jacob and David, God chooses whom God chooses. God told Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. Mary is not chosen because she deserves favor, but is favored because she was chosen. As Mary will say in response to the angel's announcement, God brings down the powerful from their throne and lifts up the lowly. As Jesus will later say, in God's realm, the last will be first, and the first will be last. Now, there are some beautiful words in our gospel lesson today. The angel greets Mary, says, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." The angel says, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Now, when Mary wonders how she can be a mother, given that she is a virgin, the angel says nothing will be impossible with God. And then when Mary says, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord, let it be with me according to your word," we typically approach this story as something that happened more than 2,000 years ago, which that's true. Something that happened to a wonderful young woman, again, true. And something that stuck way back there in time, having little connection with us. Well, that's not true. The appearance of the angel to Mary did happen more than 2,000 years ago and was distinctive. The angel called Mary, and only Mary would be the mother of the Lord. But listen again to this angel's words to Mary and ask whether the angel might just be speaking those words to you as well. The angel said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Could it be the angel is speaking those words to you? "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Those words are meant for each one of us. While none of us will ever be the mother of the Messiah, God does favor each of us in some way. Each of us is a beautiful creature that God has made in some way. God has made each of us with a purpose in mind. He has a special plan for you and for me. God makes it possible for each of us to do something wonderful, something important during our lifetime. God calls each of us to some special calling, a calling that will remain unfulfilled if we fail to respond, but a calling that will leave the world richer if we do respond. Now, I'm not suggesting that God is calling each one of us to do something dramatic. I'm simply suggesting that if we live our lives in faith, God will honor our faith by doing some kind of wonderful work through us. It's quite likely there's a child in this congregation today who will grow up to be a missionary or a business person or a social worker or a physician or a carpenter. It's quite likely that our children will grow up to be pillars of their communities, blessing everyone who comes in contact with them. It's also possible there's an adult in the congregation today who will become, in his or her mature years, a pastor of a congregation. But it's also possible that your call might simply be to teach a Sunday school class, or raise your child to know Jesus, or show mercy to a homeless person, or to cook meals in a soup kitchen, or be a craftsperson whose work and words will show people what it means to be a Christian. It matters not what God calls us to do. It matters not whether it's going to be a great or a humble calling. When we answer God's call, we can be sure that God will make something wonderful of us. Now listen carefully now. I want you to hear these words as if God intends them for you, because I believe that He does. The angel says, "Greetings, favored one." He says to you, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." And so the Lord is. The Lord is with us any time that we live in faith, any time we answer the call to which the Lord has called us. And the angel says, "The Lord is with you. The Lord will make something wonderful out of your life." The angel also says, "Do not be afraid." It's a fearful thing to be in the presence of God, but we need not be afraid. God is for us, not against us. God loves us. God is willing to forgive us when we go wrong, and He wants to forgive us, loves to show us mercy. Do not be afraid. We need to hear those words. We need to hear those words because we go through life fearing many things, most of which will never happen. Do not be afraid. All of us are afraid at times. When we are afraid, we need to hear the angel saying, "Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid because churches need to hear those words. Sometimes churches can't find the courage to act. It takes great faith to do great things. But sometimes we feel like we have to have money in the bank before we can undertake any great challenge. While it's true that we need to be good stewards, it's not true that we need to be fearful. Do not be afraid, the angel said. That's great advice. When the angel told Mary what would happen to her, she said, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" And that's a good question. No man had ever touched her, so how could she have a baby? I would like to draw your attention to the angel's answer, the angel's closing words to Mary. The angel said, "For nothing will be impossible with God." I would like to encourage you to write those words on a note card, post it on your refrigerator this week. For nothing will be impossible with God. I would like you to think about those words right now. For nothing will be impossible with God. Is that true? Well, I believe it is. I believe that if God wants to do something important through my life, He can do it. God doesn't need me to be brilliant or eloquent. God doesn't need me to be a top 10% super achiever. If I simply try to live faithfully, God will accomplish something wonderful through my life. God can do that in spite of all my failings, in spite of my limitations, in spite of my sins. For nothing is impossible with God. And the same is true for you. You might be ordinary to the nth degree, but that doesn't matter. You might be too young or too old, but that doesn't matter. You might be not quite beautiful or not quite bright, but that doesn't matter. You might have never distinguished yourself in any way, but that doesn't matter. The reason that it doesn't matter is that God doesn't depend on our power. We depend on God's power. Like the angel says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." For nothing will be impossible with God. If we walk faithfully with God, God will do something important through our lives. We might not even be aware of it. We might not even learn about it until we get to heaven. But God will do great things through us if we heed His call. For nothing, and I mean nothing, is impossible with God. Believe that. It's true. Mary responded by saying, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And that's such a beautiful response. Mary was saying that she would walk in the direction that God pointed her, regardless of danger, regardless of her own desires. She was saying that she would do what God wanted without reservation and without complaint. And that made all the difference. If Mary had not had that kind of spirit, we would never have heard of her. God didn't need a brilliant woman. God didn't need a beautiful woman. God just needed a faithful woman, and that's what He found in Mary. She said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." That's all that God needed from her. And that's all that God needs from us, too. "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Has God been tugging at your heart to do something special? Has God been nudging you in a certain direction? Has God challenged you to make a significant change in your life? If you want to do something important, something that will bless people, something that will survive through all eternity, just answer just like Mary did. "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." If you do that, you can trust that God will make something wonderful out of your life. God may not make you famous. He may not make you rich. God might not even give you an easy life, but you can be assured that you'll have a blessed life, a life rich in God's blessings, and a life that blesses all of those who know you. As I close today, let's talk about the hymn, "O Come All Ye Faithful." It was written by John Francis Wade, an 18th century Catholic layman involved in the music business in France. Copies of the hymn migrated to Portugal and then on to England. First, it was written in Latin, and the original verse begins with the words, "Adeste Fidelis." An Anglican clergyman, Frederick Oakley, translated it into English, and today it's one of the most popular Advent Christian hymns and is sung by Christians around the world. One of the reasons for its popularity is the joyful character of its words and music. "O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant," it says. And the music has a joyful, triumphant lilt to go with the joyful, triumphant words. The hymn calls us to come to Bethlehem to behold the baby Jesus. It calls us to come and adore Him. It reminds us of the angel choir that accompanied Jesus' birth and of the shepherds who gathered around His cradle. It reminds us that God calls us too. to sing Christ's praises and to give Him glory in this Christmas season. Christmas is a busy season, and we have 1,000 things on our mind and 1,000 things to do, but through it all, let us remember to come and adore Christ, who came into the world in this season to bring us light for our darkness, for our joy, and for our life. So remember, here I am. That's all God needs from us, along with our willing heart, our willing hands, and our life of faith. This week, as we prepare for the giving of gifts on Christmas Day, let me invite you to give God a gift. Give Him yourself. Let me encourage you to be in prayer this week to learn what God would have you do with your life. And then let me invite you to respond just like Mary did. Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. That's our Lord's message for this Lord's Day, and I hope you got a blessing out of it. Go out this week, be a blessing and be blessed, for the more you're a blessing, the more you will be blessed. Have a Merry Christmas. We'll see you all next week. Thank you all for watching.